And take the prayer request, and I'm going to ask Brother Wes Willis, if you don't mind, to come and pray over these. We got quite a few requests tonight. Sister Lori Wyko wants us to remember Brother Sam. He's having to travel and work out of state every week right now, misses being in church and desires your prayers, so let's remember him. Brother Terry Horn would like for us to remember his granddaughter, Emmy, in prayer. She's only two, has asthma, really bad, needs a touch right now before it escalates into pneumonia, so let's remember that child. Sister Sarah Carroll would like for us to pray for her brother Tim. He had a crushing injury in his hand this summer. He's had two surgeries in the month of July, gone back to work in August, but then had to have another surgery mid-September. Last week, he developed an infection and was in the hospital for 4 days. He's home now with he's got a PICC line where they can give him antibiotics at home. He has to have that for 6 weeks. Please pray for complete healing. Thank you for your prayers. You know, we're taught that Jesus does the healing. It don't matter if it's a scratch or no matter what it is. You know, I do work in the emergency room, and the stuff we see in there, you better pray for a scratch right now. I mean, just the skin infections and the stuff that's out there. We're getting more and more where we're going to have to trust the Lord for simple things, as simple as a scratch that can become real serious. So we just ask for healing for him tonight. Continue to pray for Courtney Babb, who's having migraine headaches. Unspoken prayer request for Brother Jose Manley, Sister Gail Clark, not feeling well, also her husband, Brother Sam, is having several heart tests ran on Friday, so let's pray that that'll be good. Continue to remember Brother Tracy. He's in the hospital, continues to have a lot of pain. Ask for prayer. Sister Eileen Meyer of Kenton, Kentucky, admitted to the hospital on Monday night with possible heart problems. Doctors are running tests on her to determine the cause. And Brother Byron Palmer turns that in. And then finally, there's just a piece of paper that says unspoken prayer request. And that could easily be the most serious need up here tonight. So let's take all these needs to the Lord tonight. Brother Wes will come if we'll stand. Let's pray over these requests tonight. Brother Wes.
Let's pray.
Father, like Brother Joel said, sometimes the unspoken requests are some of the most serious and the hardest ones for us to speak are sometimes the easiest ones for you to handle. Lord, we've got brothers and sisters tonight that they're not just relying on our prayer, but they're relying on you to keep your word. And we know, we have no doubt of that you will do it. Father, there's situations here with work and travel, and there's situations, Lord, with people who've been under the knife of a surgeon all the way down to headaches, Lord. Lord, little children being attacked. All these are attacks from the enemy. We know that. We recognize that because of what you've taught us. We understand that that's Satan trying to destroy us, Lord, fighting his battle against us, waging his war. But his war is going to come to nothing. His war is going to come to naught because you are our King. You are our heart's desire, like the song said, Father. And Lord, we trust you with all of these things. We ask that your will be done in each and every one of these situations, Father. And we know that when we do that, we can put all of our confidence and all of the faith that you've given us on that, Lord, because your word proclaims that whatever we agree on in your name, you'll do it. And Lord, we ask according to your will that you do just that tonight. Father, as this world slips away into darkness, Lord, you give us peace. You give us comfort in our hearts. Lord, this nation's looking in fear to two men tonight who are battling having a debate, Lord. And the whole country seems to be looking to them. The whole world seems to be looking to them to see if they're going to solve our problems. But, Lord, we know where that ends. And, Lord, I want to thank you that we don't have to fear, that we can have perfect peace in the middle of this storm, Lord. We've just got to keep our eyes on you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for us, for the way you're bringing us the word. We thank you, Lord, for putting your hand on your servant tonight as he comes out to bring the word. And we just ask you to set him aside and speak to us just as you have been, Lord. We're trusting in that because that's the only thing that we've got. It's the only thing that we want. I love you, Father, and we trust all these things yet again in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother West. You can be seated. If brothers would like to come lift the offering tonight. Just an announcement we'd like to make here. Reminder, the Ladies of Worth brunch is going to be this Saturday, October the 6th at 10:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Please let me know if you plan to come. There's no charge for the meal, and that is Sister Sarah Carroll. If you can let her know if you can attend that. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his name here stand. To be the King of a vast domain, or be hailed in sin, drenched away. Rather have Jesus than anything this world rather have Jesus than
than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear call. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. To be the King of a
to sing this song tonight. It don't take much to talk me into this song. I love this song.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. Help me sing it. Through the storm, meet you there. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, He's on time.
He's on time,
any place, anywhere. I know a man who can feed 5,000 anytime, any place, anywhere. Just 5 loaves and 2 little fish anytime, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, meet you there. Anywhere, through the storm.
We appreciate that tonight. Brother Mac, would you want to sing for us tonight? Brother Larry said you had a song going pretty good there. All right, let's just pray for Brother Mac as he sings for us tonight.
Because of what God did, I don't need to walk on water. I have a bridge. I used to think that I could handle this life on my own, and I never dreamed I'd need someone to help me through life's storm. God knew I could never cross the dark and raging sea, so He made a way for my escape upon that old rugged tree. Now I don't need to walk on water. A bridge was built for me. God gave His Son, who gave His life on a cross of Calvary. I can walk in faith, I'm sheltered safe because of what God did. I don't need to walk on water. I have a bridge. It's an old familiar story, how the Savior walked the sea. He called out to Peter, won't you come and walk to me? Now sometimes my faith, it can get so low, it's down to sink or swim, but I can rise above those angry waves. I have a bridge, it's Him. Now I don't need to walk on water. A bridge was built for me. God gave His Son and gave His life on a cross of Calvary. Now I can walk in faith, I'm sheltered safe. because of what God did. I don't need to walk on water. I have a bridge. I don't need to walk on water. I have a bridge.
I appreciate Brother Mac doing that song. I appreciate Brother Larry telling on him. That was real good, Brother Mac. Let's stand tonight, Brother Donnie comes to bring us the word. Let's just sing, I'm Amazed.
And I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care.
Sing that chorus again.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed you care.
I found pardon, my sins. Aren't you glad? All washed away. Washed away. Oh, I'm so amazed how much you love me. I'm amazed. Precious blood, I found pardon. My sins all washed. All washed away, my sins washed away.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe that if we get to the place that His love doesn't amaze us, we're going backwards. If you think you understand it, oh my, you need to be further enlightened. The more I read about Him and His program and all that He's done, the more I realize how little we know. I'm glad to be together in the house of the Lord tonight. I'd like to read, if you would, from Psalms chapter 2, verse 6. I know many of you are aware that Emma, our little granddaughter, had took a fall on Monday and had a pretty severe concussion. Had to take her to the doctor and then to the hospital, put her in intensive care and monitor and watch her and all that. And the doctor, she got to come home yesterday, but the doctor did say that she'd probably have some short-term memory loss for maybe the next 6 weeks. And then at the end of that, they want to take her to see a neurosurgeon to make sure everything is okay. She ran into a little girl and they hit head on, so she hit her head here and then knocked her down and she hit the back of her head and had a big old knot on the back of her head. So we certainly believe the Lord is able to take care of all that and that there'll be no lingering effects in any way. So also I talked to Brother Tracy before I come out, and maybe prayer was already mentioned for him, but Brother Tracy certainly is sick, and we want to remember him, that the Lord would just help him and strengthen him and touch his body. Psalms chapter 2, verse 6. I want to speak to you tonight on the divine monarchy. The divine monarchy. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now this could not be to any other king of Israel except the Lord Jesus. Amen. David, Solomon, Hezekiah, all the different kings of Israel, they were not given a dominion to the uttermost parts of the earth. Only a small little tract of land. But to this king, the whole earth is given to him. Verse 8, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Now this shows this dispensation is in the millennium and not the eighth day. Because there will be no heathen in the eighth day. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thine inheritance. And thou shalt break them. Now look what kind of reign the millennium is actually going to be. There will be no killing, and many things will be done away with. But there will be people on the earth in glorified bodies, and people on the earth in mortal bodies. Unconverted, unregenerate. And they will need to be ruled over with a rod of iron. I'm glad I'm going to be on the right side. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So you get it here, you get it later. I'd rather get it now. Amen. Let's pray together if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We count it a privilege that we could be together again, Lord Jesus, in your great presence. We ask tonight, Father, for direction. We ask for leadership. Lord, I pray as we look into the events that are laying before us, we do not know exactly how long this will be. It could be 10 years, 20 years, 5 minutes before the session actually starts in sequence and the rapture takes place and then the marriage supper and all of that. But we believe it will happen. So I pray that each of us can be prepared and be ready for this great day when the divine monarchy was set upon the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's read, if you would, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. A mountain in scripture symbolism means a kingdom. God has a peculiar way of relating things that he wants to show to his people. Instead of coming out sometimes and saying it plain, he would hide it in shadows and in types and parables and symbols. And the prophets of the Old Testament said many things, and they used symbolic language whenever they did. So when the Lord Jesus came, he used the same type of language in parables. And a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We're all familiar with this in Daniel chapter 2. Whenever Daniel is seeing the dream that the king had had, and Daniel saw it in vision form, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast, and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Now notice what happens. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were iron of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. Now what happens? What happens to the stone? The stone that smote the image became a great mountain. Amen. So this image, of course, was the Gentile kingdoms. And we know the metallurgical symbols that were revealed by iron and by brass and by silver and by gold. Each of them was a reflection of the type of kingdom and king that was going to be in those kingdoms. So God chose metal in order to represent that. And then Daniel sees a stone. Now this stone was cut out of a mountain. And it was cut out without any hands. It was not with any human instrumentality. But he saw the stone as it come from a mountain of stone. And this stone came and hit this image that he saw in the feet, where the iron and the clay were mixed together. And then whenever the next thing that Daniel sees in the vision, he sees that all the kingdoms were so shattered to pieces. Now, before they were identified separately by metals and by the different dispensations, but when it hits them, then they all come crumbling down. And you can imagine seeing this great statue of this image as the stone would hit it in the feet and crushes it to pieces. Hundreds and hundreds of pieces land everywhere. So here was pieces of gold, pieces of silver, pieces of brass, pieces of iron, pieces of clay. And it was just all mixed together in one big muddle as it lay there in a pile, shattered to bits and pieces by the stone. Then the very next stage that Daniel sees in the vision, he sees something miraculous happen. He sees this stone as it begins to grow and it turns into a kingdom. Now it becomes a mountain, which is a symbolism of a kingdom. Now it come from a mountain kingdom and it grew back into another mountain kingdom. So then we also know, and of course Revelation 13 and also Revelation 17, that the same symbolism speaks again that a mountain would represent a kingdom. So you see, when Jesus is on Mount Transfiguration and the great appearing of the supernatural takes place there, Elijah and Moses come down. The prophet tells us it was a little glimpse of what the kingdom was going to be, because there was the resurrected dead, there was the changed dead, there was Peter, James, and John, there was Jesus glorified, and then there was the people and the natural bodies down at the foot of the mountain. So it was all the different symbolisms that was represented on that great mountain. Now in the millennium, as we looked at it last Wednesday night, we do not go from the sixth day directly to the eighth day, but we go from six to seven, then to eight. So God has this great plan. And let me tell you something, friend. This is not based on politics. This is not based on who wins the election. This is not based on who's going to be the next sheriff or the next whatever more. This is based upon God's own promise. There's nothing the devil, nor man, nor me, nor you, nor nobody else can ever do to stop this. It's already set in motion. God, now this is one of the remas from God, that God said it himself. It's not based upon whether you believe it or whether you don't. It has nothing to do with you at all. God has already decreed by his own determinant counsel, and it will come to pass. Aren't you glad in such a troubled time that people don't know what to do? You know, insurance and health care and all the rest of the rhetoric that we hear. I'm so glad we have a solid rock that we can place our faith upon. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know who's going to win the election. And you know what? I know this. I know who's in charge. I know where I'm going. I know where I come from. And I know that this is going to happen. It don't make no difference what nobody says. Glory. Now, the millennium government. Look at this. Now, the millennium government will be a divine monarchy. Now, democracy, you know, it's a good form of government in one way, but yet, as Brother Branham has already told us, you know, about the wind and the sails, and we see how it can become that with democracy, in order to protect everybody's rights, then that turns against you. Of course, I don't think we got too much to worry about, because more of our rights have been taken the last 3 or 4 years than ever before anyway. And if it continues to go on, then there'll be more of them even taken next term. So if that's what it takes to usher in the coming of the Lord, so be it. But we know that there will be the type of government that God, which was God's perfect choice, and that was a monarchy, which is a king. Now, God, this is God's perfect way. And in this, it will be actually David the Beloved that will be established upon the throne of God. Watch this now in Psalms 132:11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it.
of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Now notice, this is the word of God. It's not based upon David's faithfulness, how true David is. It has nothing to do with David. If he commits adultery, doesn't commit adultery. If David is faithful, then God will do this. Oh no, there was conditional promises given to David like other kings. This one is not conditional. This one is absolutely unconditional, based upon God alone. I'm glad God divides His promises that way, aren't you? There's promises that are given to me and you that are conditional. And if we fail those, it may rob us of temporary blessings and temporary peace. But when it comes to our salvation, it is not based upon any conditions that we can ever do. I'm glad that our salvation, and I know this ain't a Baptist church, and I don't believe eternal security the way they believe it, but I do believe in the eternal security of a real believer. And that security is not based upon me, upon you, our ups and downs. It is based upon the divine providence of God. Actually, it was the free choice of the divine monarchy in the very eternal before he ever became king upon the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice now, Isaiah 16:5. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall set upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David. Now watch this. The throne will be established. He will set upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David. Now, not the throne of David here, but in the tabernacle of David. What kind of tabernacle is that? In the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. Amos chapter 9 verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Now remember, David's long gone by the time this prophecy was made. So was Solomon, so was many of those that received David's lineage. They were all gone. But what is God saying that he's going to raise up the tabernacle of David? Notice he didn't say the house of David. Now the house of David would have been David's lineage, and you'll notice that beginning in Kings and Chronicles and on down through, that God said the house of David, the house of Saul, the house of so-and-so, the house of so-and-so. But here he's not saying the house of David, but the tabernacle or the tent. Now remember, David himself never actually built a tent for the Lord. The tent that David was allowed to worship under was the tabernacle at Shiloh, or Shiloh, depends on which way you pronounce it, Hebrew or English. But he was there to worship, but David himself never built that tabernacle. But there was a prophetic tabernacle that would be erected in memory of David. Now listen to me. God actually calls it, I will raise up the tabernacle of David. Now is it David's body? Is it David's lineage? What kind of body is it? Well, God's going to raise up a tabernacle, and it will be a tabernacle of David. Now notice in Luke chapter 1 verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, the angel of the Lord speaking to Mary, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. Now the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Amen. The Lord shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now you're the angel of the Lord picking up the prophetic utterance that was given to David by God himself, telling that here Christ David would be raised up on the throne, that he would become. Now the tabernacle of David is now being built upon the earth. So the tabernacle of David is not just the building of David of the Old Testament, but it is the David of the New. Anybody know what David means? Beloved. Beloved. So the tabernacle of David will be raised in the Beloved. Now the tabernacle through which God will set up on the earth in the millennium. We know that the prince will receive a great portion of the new earth. the 12 tribes will be spread out on the earth, and there will actually be 12 gates that will go inside this city that will be on the earth, the Millennium City, and they will be named after the 12 tribes. Now, this is not the eighth day city, for in there the apostolic foundations will be named, but this is the Millennium. So the Millennium is the Jewish kingdom when the 144,000 will be restored, and it will be a tribal reign on the earth of the 12 tribes. Now, in this, God, you know, notice in Acts chapter 15, verse 14, James speaking at the Jerusalem council about the Gentiles coming in. Simon hath declared how that God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take. Now, notice, now they're just coming into an understanding about the Gentiles, because there's a great thing that's happened. The Holy Ghost started falling on dogs, and the Jews was all mad about it. They didn't think you and I could have the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost had fell on them Gentile dogs, and man, they got all tore up. So they had them a little council meeting, and they're trying to figure out, you know, can we let them in? God said, let them in. I didn't baptize them in. What's wrong with you all? I didn't let them in. They're my bride. You know what? But remember, they were so thinking in their mind that this was only for Israel. The word had not become rhema to them yet about the Gentile bride. So they're having this council. What should we do? And Peter said, don't blame me. I was just over there preaching, and the Holy Ghost fell on them. And Cornelius and them got the Holy Ghost. And the others said, oh my, what is falling on them? I said, wait a minute, Lord, don't pour the Holy Ghost out on them dogs. So they got together and had a council meeting. Notice now he says, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. What in the world has that got to do with the Gentile church? James, do you know what you're talking about? James, you're in charge of the New Testament church in the, at Jerusalem. But do you know what you're talking about? These people are not Jews. These people have no lineage as far as David is concerned. And yet he takes the prophecy that I will build the tabernacle of David and likens that to the Gentile church getting the Holy Ghost. So the tabernacle of David then is not David's lineage, and it's not the tent at Shiloh, but it is the tabernacle of David, the body of God. The body, the New Testament body of God, that God said, I will rebuild the tabernacle of my beloved. Now what's this? My, I will return and will build the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, which doeth all these things. So then God is going to instate a David on the earth in the millennium. And David must have a tabernacle. Now it will be a natural tabernacle, but it will be, of course, a mystical tabernacle as well. Now watch this in Isaiah 9 and 6. The prophecies concerning the reign under this great, great king. Isaiah 9, 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. Now notice how it's going to usher in. It will come in under the auspices of a David. David, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know how that there'll be a bride there? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know how you'll wind up being there in spite of yourself? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now remember, Solomon was a type of this, and God had spoke to David and said, you will not build the tabernacle because you shed blood. But you will have a son, your father's son, and out of your loins will come a son, and he will build my house. Now, in there is inserted, you know, Solomon, but is also projected his greater son, as we know prophecies can have a twofold meaning. It was also projected his greater son, for he said, I will be his father, and he will be my son. son. Now you know that his name was God. The Lord called him Jedediah, actually Solomon. God called him a little bit different than what they did. And God called him this name. But yet there's also the insertion there that God is projecting the real David, the real beloved that is going to come. Remember, God's not going to say it all right out in the Old Testament, because these scriptures I'm going to read you tonight, hopefully they'll make a beautiful picture and you'll see them. But remember, when they were given, they were said many times, hundreds of years apart. So they would have not been able to sit down and type it in the way I did, throne of David or beloved or all that, and pull it all together and just link it. But they might have had a book over here and you might have never seen the book of Isaiah. Maybe all you ever read was the book of Psalms. And maybe you never read Genesis 49:10 about Shiloh. Or maybe you never read Zechariah 12:6 or Deuteronomy. You know, maybe you never read that. But now as we look back, and it's like putting a chain together. This link goes with that one. That one goes with that one. That one goes with that one. And God did it that way, saving it till the end time when the tabernacle of David would stand upon the earth. Someone must be preaching the ushering in of the millennium before the millennium can ever transpire. The Lord Jesus could not come on the earth. Come on, children. The Lord Jesus could not come on the earth until there was somebody there preaching, "He's coming, He's coming, He's coming." What if the coming of the Lord and the rapture and the resurrection, the millennium, if we're here, there's men of God all over the earth. They're saying, "It's coming, it's coming, it's coming." You believe that? 1 Chronicles 29:23. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king. Notice this now. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father. And notice, prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as not been on any king before him in Israel. Now notice, he was a type. Brother Bram actually says this was Israel's millennium. So this was Israel's millennium. He, by his great wisdom, he was not sending out armies to be able to conquer into this, that, and the other, but by wisdom, by majestic given to him by God, this majestic something that when he come around, people come from all over the earth. Don't you see how it'll be in the millennium? They will come from all over the parts of the earth. Now the bride, the 144,000, will live in the temple area, and the outside land areas and the nations will live on the outside of that. But they will have ambassadors that will come in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they gotta come up and worship. Though they are themselves are not converted, many of them will not be. But they will come up, and if they don't come up, they don't get no rain. Now notice, it will be under the antitype of the reign of Solomon. So if God gives Solomon such glory and such majesty that people just come to hear the man talk, and the Queen of Sheba way, made many, many hundreds and hundreds of miles, heard about it, and the news went every direction. My, you ought to see this man. It's absolutely unbelievable. Can you imagine in the millennium when these people on the outside, and they'll want to come in, and many of them will actually be saved during the dispensation of the millennium. Many of them won't, of course. And they will make their choice. You say in the millennium, people will choose not to live for the Lord? Eve did. In the first millennium, her and Adam made their choice. In this last millennium, people will make their choice either to live for God or not to live for God. And it will be under the messianic kingdom that they will do it. Why? It will be coming back and the kingdom will be on the earth again. This is why there's been heathen all down through time that God never allowed them to hear the truth. Because if they would have heard the truth, he would be unjust to give a certain bunch a second chance and not get all of them a second chance. So in the days of Ezekiel, in the days of Jeremiah, in the days of Luther, in the day, maybe all different dispensations, there were people that were kept from the truth so they would have somebody to reign over. Why? Because he said, "Ask of me the heathen, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." And we're going to rule and reign over somebody, and we ain't going to reign over one another. So we're going to reign over those that God kept from light and kept from truth. Oh, glory to God. And in the millennium, they'll make their choice. You say, how in the world could anybody in the right mind with the glorified Son of God sitting on the throne of God make their choice? Well, I don't rightly know. I don't know how in the world they could do it. I honestly don't know how they can rightly not do it now. I don't see how folks sitting in this church cannot want to serve God with all their heart. All we've seen and all we've heard, but yet people do. They make their choice. They go right on doing their own thing. I don't understand that. I'm glad I don't. I'm glad I'm not made up to understand such a thing. Aren't you? Now watch in Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos said, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. Amen. Now, these are people who have not been taught by the Spirit. These are the nations. Many of them will live outside. Now, remember, this is not the eighth day, because in the eighth day, everybody living on the earth will be in a glorified body. So these are people that are living outside the kingdom per se, the city itself, and they go out and my, what do they do, Brother Donnie? I have no idea. They're going to enjoy the earth. They're going to live and they're going to eat and they're going to enjoy the earth for 1,000 years. And yet this is what the millennium kingdom will be like. And this will be the drawing power of the throne from those who are really honest and sincere and they desire to know the truth. So they will say this, let's go up to the house, to the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now notice here the law. This is not the eighth day, because in the eighth day there will need no need of a providential law. There will be no need to be able to have certain things to do this. There will be nobody on the earth that will be unconverted. But in the millennium, because it is a theocracy, because it is a monarchy, there will be laws. And there will be sons of God that will be on thrones or magistrates that will be set over certain parts. Come on, church. This is when the adopted sons will come into full manifestation. Now, these people will live outside of this because on the earth, they were kept from it. They never heard it all of their life. And they will be raised during the time of the millennium, and they will be given a chance. No doubt many thousands or millions of them will come into the kingdom message. And they will embrace the kingdom message under the reign of a monarchy of King David, the Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I wish you'd start tonight. Praise the Lord. Now notice, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. Now this again is the millennium. This can't be the eighth day because there'll be no rebuking going on. Woo, no more hard preaching. Praise the Lord. But you see, as long as you got unconverted around, you got to do some rebuking. That's right. He shall judge among, notice, not the bride, not the 144,000, but the nations. So let's say like this, that there will be Italians, and there will be Romans, and there will be Jews, and there will be, you know, whatever more, different nationalities on the outside. But yet this is not going on the inside. This does not pertain to the queen, because she's on the earth with her beloved in what? The honeymoon. And now they've come from the marriage supper of the Lamb, and they're on the earth in a honeymoon. What a honeymoon! For 1,000 years of peace with our Lord. Glory to God. And you're going to spend it on the earth, and there will be millions of people living upon the earth that are unconverted in mortal bodies. Almost seems unbelievable, doesn't it? He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. You do know what the symbol is of Russia, don't you? On their flag? You know what it is? Beating a sword into a plowshare. Now, it made no difference what great king has ever come on the earth. What great man. Nobody can ever cause that to happen but the Lord Jesus. It will take the reign of our Solomon Solomon. That God will depart to him such majesty and such omnipotence will be reflected through him that even though there will be some on the earth that will not do as they're supposed to do, their disobedience will not break the reign of this monarchy. It will be a reign of peace from day one until it ends. No matter what they do, if they don't come up to the house of God, there won't be an old upset up in, up at the Capitol, you know. It won't be a whole, oh my, the house of Egypt didn't come up. Oh man, the bride, I'll run around. Oh no, what are we going to do? No, it is a reign of peace. There will be sons of God dispatched, and my, they'll go over there and take care of it and say, just because you didn't come to church, you don't get no reign. I guarantee you one thing, next time you have church, they'll be there. Their corn gets a little bean, and their maters and taters and their watermelons and their pumpkins. Boy, they'll show up next time. I'll tell you one thing. It don't pay to miss church. You understand what I'm talking about right now? It don't pay for us to lay home when we come to the house of God. When we're able to go and can't go, it don't pay to miss church. Your corn gets lean. Your pumpkins and your maters and your taters gets all dry. Now watch. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Oh, happy day. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. There'll be no arms treaties because there'll be no arms. It won't be no United Nations. It'll be United Nations, all right, under one shepherd. Amen. Glory to God. There won't be a bunch of politicians getting up and one saying one thing and one saying another. The king has spoken. Let it be as bad as it has been written, so shall it be done. There'll be no coming to him and offering him some money under the table. There'll be no bribes. It'll be none of that. If he says it's this way, it's this way. Glory to God. There won't be nobody making cannons. There won't be nobody doing this. It will be a reign of peace for 1,000 years. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. I love this. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Now you see, that will have already passed for you at the marriage supper. Or you said, we're going to come down to the battle of Armageddon. Yeah, but we don't need to learn that. We'll know how to do it. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Oh, house of Jacob, come ye. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears, but with righteousness shall he judge, amen, the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth, notice this, with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Amen. Now you can tell already this ain't a Democrat nor a Republican, nor an independent. Oh, they all say they'll do all that, but they're liars, liars, liars. You say, which side's liars? All of them are. Good man goes in there, he might be good, but he'll come out a liar. But this man is a man of truth. He will judge in equity and righteousness and purity. Come on, church. Oh, my. Yes, sir. Oh, hasten the day it comes to pass. Now, notice what happens. There will be a change. I can't say. I don't know for sure. I've never found the answer. How that when Adam fell and God put the curse on the earth, and all of a sudden the earth, which stood like this and spun around, and the temperature was the same all over it, tropical atmosphere. I don't know when it happened. Was it when Adam fell? Was it when God drove him out of the garden? I don't know. But all of a sudden, the earth went like this. And the animals on the earth, which were not meat eaters, nothing carnivorous, something happened. And all of a sudden, the lion looked at the lamb and saw him as lunch. The tiger, the cheetah, you know, all these things. What? Something happened. Glory to God. And remember, before this kingdom could really be a kingdom of peace, there must be a change in man, but there must also be a change in beast. The earth, standing out here spinning, tilted on her axis, even in the millennium, his word will cause her to go back. For there will be no winter in the millennium. Is that right? That's what he told us in November of 1962. There will be no winter because the millennium is the curse of God on the earth. So she'll turn back up on her axis, and when she does, then the temperature will come around on the earth, and all of a sudden something will come on the animals. Will they be recreated again? No doubt the atomics will begin to drop at Armageddon, as we looked at it last week. And beneath that will ignite with the lava which is beneath the earth itself. And there will be a cleansing that will be so deep that he will consider it just and righteous in order to come down on the earth himself and bring his bride on the earth and start in order the recreation toward the eighth day. So will it be hundreds of miles deep, thousands of miles deep? I have no idea. But it will be enough. It will be enough for sure. She will be purged. Then she will stand back up again like this. Then in moving about in orbit as she has always done, then the temperature will become the same all around her. The equinox of spring, summer, fall, all that will fade away. It'll dissipate. It will never be anymore. The animals will be destroyed. Of course, all human beings will be destroyed during the time of this. And there must be a calling from the dead. Now, remember, the voice of Jesus, the Son of God, is the resurrector. So he will raise the heathen who did not have the opportunity to hear. He will speak and they will come out of the grave. He will also call animals. And it will be the first time since the fall that a lion will look over at a lamb and doesn't consider him lunch. He considers him a friend. So here he will recreate, and when he brings them back up, he will bring them back up in the original Eden condition. Everything eaten, vegetation. Oh, glory. Notice verse 6. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now, there's no way that this can happen without something actually happening to the wolf. But you see, even though the entire human race on the earth has not been redeemed, the tabernacle of David has. The beloved and his wife. Now, even though it's not completed until the eighth day, it has already started. And the elect, whose names was in that book by this time in the millennium, are fully redeemed. So he can go ahead and recreate the, glory to God, he can go ahead and recreate the animals and bring them back on the earth in their original Eden condition, because Adam and Eve are on the earth again. Oh, glory to God. It would not be fitting for Adam and Eve to be on the earth and the wolf to be wild and the bear to be wild. But since Adam and Eve are back, the animals must be brought back in the original condition. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Now I want you to notice, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, which is not an adult sheep. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, which is a young goat, not a mature goat. And the calf, a young cow. And the young lion, and the fatling. gathering together. And the little child. Glory! So there'll be little goats, little sheep, and little humans. Some of y'all look, have I got something on my face or something? Didn't I comb my hair or something? Glory to God. And a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. So what is it now? They're back to herbivores, not carnivores. Everything eating vegetation. Glory to God. They're not eating anything that has the blood in it, which has the life in it. But they're eating vegetation. Glory to God. So here is the young calf, the young kid, the child, all of this. Oh, Lord Jesus. There is no disruption of this peaceful order. It's back again on the earth in the Garden of Eden. Except this time it's not one man and one woman, but it's millions. Now remember, Brother Bam said that the Garden of Eden, it was like Eden was a state, like the state of Tennessee. And the Garden of Eden will be like the capital, say, of Tennessee. So in the Eden will be a blessed paradise. The Hebrew word, of course, for Eden is pleasure. And whenever Sarah said to Abraham, shall I again have Eden? Pleasure was my Lord. So when God named this earth, he named, glory to God, he named it well. And he called it, he put this headquarters over in Egypt, and he put it there called Eden. Now that had the course of the rivers that come down through the Euphrates, where the gold and all this was at. And yet God will recreate that again. Where? Right exactly where it was in the first place. It won't be in the United States. It won't be in Europe. It'll be right back there in the center of the earth where they say Adam's body was taken out of. That's where it'll go back to. Now from there will issue forth the law, but it will not just be a law of justice and judgment. You better do this, you better do that. It will be a law of life by the voice of the Creator. He will bring it back to the Eden condition again. The earth's temperature will remain the same because now she's standing back up because the sons of God, hallelujah, the sons of God are here. Can you imagine Adam and Eve, the original Adam and Eve, as they walk into paradise the second time? I long to see him, Brother David. I long to see Adam and go up and shake his head and say, my father, you sold us all out. And then go over to my David and say, but my father, you bought us all back. Oh, glory. The first Adam and the second Adam back on the earth. Both of them in the Garden of Eden again. The first Eve and the second Eve. Notice verse 8. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Then shall they not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Oh, children, don't you long for that? Amen. Hallelujah. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, the animals will be changed. The earth will be changed. They're going to be said to you this way. I don't know exactly when it happened, what dispensation, what time frame. But I know even in the land of Israel that it changed from the time that Moses and the children of Israel went into the land till now. Now, I've been in the land of Israel many, many years ago. It has all kinds of desert. It is barren in many places. Rocks. Yet initially, when God gave them the land, it was by identification a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a land that it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes. So you think, what happened to that? As I told you here Sunday, that by the time Jesus was here to have a harvest in the land of Palestine, the average harvest was 10 times the amount of grain that you planted. So if you planted a bushel of grain, you can expect to get 10 bushels back. That's how low the yield had become. So something was it Israel's backsliding? Was Israel getting away from God, getting away from the promise of God? And it come to where it was less and less and less fruitful as they got away from God, their own land and the same. I wonder if it's not a parallel to us today as the Church of Jesus Christ. That if we keep our fellowship with Him, we'll be fruitful and we'll abound. But if we don't, we're still Christians, we're still saved. But instead of going, but you got a cluster of grapes that two men could pack, you got a whole tub that one man can pack out. You know why? Because it becomes to where it's less fruitful. It's not as much bounty. Now notice when it come then, but what will God do? God says, I am going to bring it back. And the earth itself will not only stand upright, but the reason she struggles, the reason that she has a hard time, is because she's living under the same curse that we bear. And as long as we're in earth's bodies, we will also struggle. As long as you're in this body, you will struggle because the earth struggles. Glory! But when you are changed and you come back to the earth, you will set her free from her own struggle. Glory to God. As your body is changed, so will she get a change. But as long as you're in these bodies, sons of God, the earth cannot be changed until our bodies are changed. And with our change comes hers. Oh, glory to God. So it's like this, that God said, let it be cursed. Let the earth, human life, animal life, beast, everything, let it labor, let it struggle. But in the millennium, God's word takes it off. So she comes from her tilting up like this. The temperature moves the same around her. The animals begin to look at one another different. And the earth will put out a bounty that will be almost unbelievable. The increase of the crops, the increase of the water and all of these things, and the increase not only of that, but of peace. No, none of us will ever get tired. Because you see, in our human minds and our human bodies, we think, oh my, more corn, more work, more canning, more pickling, more shucking, more breaking beans, more maters, more taters. I don't want more maters, more taters. It ain't going to be that way there. You see, with that will come a kingdom of peace. It's not just an increase of work. It's not an increase of work. It is removing the curse. Notice this. Isaiah 35:1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad. Children, we can't hear it. We cannot hear it because we're not in tune to. But if we could hear her, she's grown in this very hour. The desert is groaning, Brother Frank. The earth spinning out here tilted like this. She was never made to tilt that way. But the great creator knew he had to make her so she'd be so versatile that when she tilted 22 and a half degrees, she would be able to do it and not wobble out of space and just be annihilated in a black hole. He knew that she could go this far out of orbit and still stand up there. Oh, glory. But he knows one day, this is not what I thought about you, earth. This is not my original thought of you. This was my original thought. Hallelujah. My original thought was not deserts. It was not of the Arctic and the Antarctic and 50 below zero and snow. That was not my thought. But my thought of you was a green paradise. My thought of you was animals on the earth and sons of God on the earth. And most importantly, me on the earth. I want to come down on the earth and live with my children. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad. And the desert. Notice. Yes, the desert shall rejoice. How does the desert rejoice? I don't know, but I plan on finding out. If God said, Brother Skip, the desert will rejoice, it will rejoice. Glory to God. Can't you see? Your mother, she's coming back. She's coming back. And when the resurrection sets in and he calls your body from the dust of your mother can rejoice even at the resurrection. Because she knows if you're coming up, she won't be long behind you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Mary was not Jesus' redeemer, but Jesus was hers. The earth is not my redeemer. I am hers. You are hers because he chose her to take my body out and your body out. And if he did that, it shows she has an attribute. She's part of his thinking before this earth ever began, and she can never be annihilated. My, on the resurrection, I'd say the earth will have a little bit of a spell on the rapture day. Why? Because she'll know, oh, glory to God, I'm next in line. I'm going to get up too. I'm going to have a resurrection. There goes them sons of God. There goes them daughters of God right out of my very bosom. There they go right out of my very bosom. Oh, glory. Lord Jesus. If he took your new body from Mars, then Mars could rejoice. Because she'd know she's getting the new city. But the earth, glory, she can shout. No wonder she'll start having earthquakes. I wonder if it's really earthquakes or if it's shouting spells. Glory! Oh my. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place. From Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate and unto the corner gate. And from the tower of Hananel unto the king's winepress. And men shall dwell in it. And there shall be no more utter destruction. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Praise the Lord. Now notice, because worship will still be a great part of this monarchy, everybody on the earth will be required to worship. The millennium is still the Feast of Tabernacles, which is temporary dwelling places. Sukkoth. It's the word where they camped as they come through. Also where Jacob had an experience. Sukkoth. So they built booths, yes, temporary booths for their cattle and for themselves. This is typifying their journey. So it was a stage of their journey. So it was a feast that God gave them. We went through that years ago. So it's called the Feast of Tabernacles. So in Jerusalem and Judea and wherever they were, they would actually move out of their houses and they would move into this tabernacle or this tent or booths, temporary dwelling place. And there they would keep this feast and they would stay there until this feast was ended, called the Feast of Tabernacles. Now notice in Zechariah 14:16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. Amen. Now of course, this is not you. you won't go up, you'll be up. You see, the bride ain't going nowhere. I mean, she ain't going out here. She ain't going to Arabia. She ain't going to Europe. No, this is not the bride now. Glory. Notice everyone that is left among all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now remember, this will be kept as a memorial. There will be a temple built, and these things will be there as a memorial, according to Ezekiel 44 through 48. Now, whenever they come up now, remember they are coming. It will be an amateur version or a not yet fully revealed version of the eighth day. There will be a city. There will be a place where we will worship. There will be a place there. But yet this is now giving them their chance to fulfill the seventh day, to go out on the Feast of Tabernacles. So here they will come up from year to year. But the bride don't go from year to year. She lives there all the time. You see, this is only a reflection of where you were in time. So if you were a type of a person on the earth, or had you lived on the earth, this is the type of person you would have been, because being on the earth does not reflect anything different than where you come from. As a matter of fact, Brother Bram said, so what you are here is what you are somewhere else, and you're only reflecting by the life you live your inheritance. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. You understand, some people would never be bride if you let them live to be 100,000 years old. They don't want to be. They do not want to be a part of that word. They're perfectly satisfied by living on the outside. So where will they live in the millennium? On the outside. Where will they live in the eighth day? On the outside. How come you ain't going to be on the outside? Because you never was happy on the outside when you was on the earth. You had to be right where the action was going on. And I ain't talking about all the gossip and all the syrup in the church. I'm talking about where he's at. You know the bride, oh my, she's like that beloved in the Song of Solomon. She just can't stand to be away from her beloved. And if she gets messed up every now and then, he's on the outside knocking on the door. And she's so wore out from all the troubles of Laodicea. And she finally gets up and she staggers over to the door. And she gets a hold of the handle. And she says, oh my, he was here. He was here. And now the handle is dripping with myrrh and with his goodness. So she puts on her garment. She goes outside. Have you seen him whom my soul loveth? Have you seen him? I've not been praying right. I've not been doing right. Oh, where's he at? Where's he at? And some of them called her in the street and made fun of him. They tried to, you know, do different things. But she said, I'll not be satisfied till I find him whom my soul loveth. You see, that's the real elect of God. Everybody doesn't feel that way about the Lord. Everybody doesn't love him quite that way. Now notice verse 17, it shall be that whoso will not come up at the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. That's right. Amen. If the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain. And there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations. They come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. Thought you said it's going to be a kingdom of peace. It is. Peace will reign. Yes, amen. Ain't going to be no killing. No jails. No prisons. Won't be nobody sent out there to arrest the family of Egypt. He was just told back the water or send one of his sons to. Then, of course, whenever he sees repentance has been made, they may call on him sons and say, Son of God, I need a ring. Remember he said that in adoption? I need a ring. And his magistrates, the tabernacle of David, stand on the earth and say, I send the land of Egypt a ring. And you remember, next time, you better be in church. Oh, I'll be there, sir. You tell the king, I will be there next time. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. But if you're a bride, there ain't nobody going to be saying that to you because you're right there where it's happening. Oh, my, I could go out if I wanted to. I could go over here or go over there to Egypt, but why would I want to leave him? I want to be right there. Oh, glory. In that day there shall be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. All they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. In that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Notice this future home. In the millennium we'll be under the Feast of Tabernacles again in the seventh day. But then after the seventh day we have a holy convocation. We go back unto the eternal. How? By the eternal one that came and redeemed us and taken us back. Letting us recognize that we are part of this. Let's pick this up again, Lord willing, next Wednesday in Micah 4:1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills. And people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Notice this is almost identical. Identical word for word of the other prophet that we read. You think, why would God say this twice? Amen. Our Father wants it so confirmed to our hearts. It's amazing how many theologians, how many doctors of divinity, how many bishops, archbishops of the diocese that do not even believe in a millennium kingdom. It's amazing how many message folks don't believe in a millennium kingdom. And their unbelief will not hinder me, you, and it certainly won't hinder God. Ezekiel 34:23, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David. And he shall feed them. And he shall be their shepherd. Now this is not King David. It's Jesus. It's amazing how many prophecies, we'll look at it, Lord willing, in the Old Testament, called Jesus, David, beloved. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. You love him. Peace in the valley. Praise God. What will it be like, friend, when we step out of our residence in the great city of God in the millennium? We step out during the night on the outside of the city. No one died. No babies were born, stillborn. There was no marauders going through the city. Nobody stole anything. The biggest trouble you have is just people skipping church. Lord God, you believe it's true.
Amen.
It's true. We'll walk out beside the lions, the tigers. None will ever roar. No tornadoes, no hurricanes. No wind to blow us, scare us. No thunderstorms, no lightning. Praise God. Oh, the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Yes, the beast of the wild shall be led by a little child. I'll be changed, glory, from this creature that I am. Let's sing it now, children. Oh, there will be peace in the valley for me someday.
There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no troubles. I'll see there will be peace in the valley for me. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. There will be peace in the valley.